Hello there.
Hello.
Hello there. Gerald, is it?
That's me.
How are you doing? Terry Lawton is my name. I'm calling you here from Wexford, Gerald.
Yeah.
I'm just wondering, I have an inquiry. I'm wondering, do you know, are Met Aaron planning anyway soon on talking about the ongoing weather modification programs going on in Ireland?
There are no weather modifications going on in Ireland that I know about.
None that you know about. Okay. Well, I'm looking at just some recent statements from the World Meteorological Organization, and well, back in 2007, they stated that in recent years there has been a decline in the support for weather modification research and a tendency to move directly into operational projects. They said that now back in 2007, and only late last year they stated it as well at the United Nations General Assembly that that if weather modification programs globally were to cease, that the weather ramifications could be catastrophic. So
they said that, but there are weather modification programs undertaken in some countries.
Yeah.
Mainly Eastern Europe and kind of beyond. But they're not undertaken by and large in Western European countries that I know of.
Okay. Do you know about, are you talking about like just regional programs then?
Weather modification is very much a local and regional activity.
Yeah. Do you know, Jerry, about any of the ones going on around Europe? Would you know anything more about them or whereabouts they're going on?
In the Balkans and some of those countries. But they're very local. You know, they're about stopping hail falling on or trying to, at least on vineyards and things like that. They're very, very local.
Yes, yes.
Perfect.
And so, you see, I've known about weather modification for a few years now, and it's I never heard about it before. Then I'm only starting to come into contact with it in the last few years into contact with this information, but I'm reading like lengthy white papers and written out by the U.S. military going back to the 1920s, talking about how they seek to control the weather. To predict it and eventually control it. John F. Kennedy talked about that at a United Nations convention in September 25th, 1961. He said that they seek to control the weather and predict the weather and eventually control it. And I'm just looking at, you know, U.S. military documents like Aurora Flight Sciences and all. I mean, in that document they go into great detail about the cost-benefit analysis on retrofitting out military and cargo planes with spray equipment to spray the atmosphere with sulfates to facilitate these programs. So, I mean, there's just mountains and mountains and mountains of all this documentation I'm reading, and I'm hearing the World Meteorological Organization talking about just the things that I mentioned there, and also UNESCO have recently come out and made a public statement about geoengineering as well, and weather modification programs, and you know, and I'm just looking at all this weather now, you know, and it seems so out of sorts. The whole thing has just gone completely haywire.
The scale is completely different. Weather modification happens only on a local scale.
Yeah.
Modifying the sort of weather that we get is virtually impossible.
Right.
Because the scale of what's happening, the scale of the weather systems that we get, the big Atlantic depressions and so on.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
They're not susceptible to modification.
Yeah. But as a meteorologist, Jer, would you think that, you know, local regional programs, would you not think that they would have some kind of a knock-on effect globally?
That is a good point, and that remains nobody really knows the answer to that question, I think it's fair to say.
Yeah.
Nobody really knows the answer to that question.
Yeah.
It's not something that you can easily test.
Yeah. And because, you know, like, I remember, God, you know, I'm 39 years of age, and when I was growing up, I mean, the summers used to be just summers, and the winters used to be winters, and so on and so forth.
Oh, that's memory. If you look back at the record, it wasn't like that.
When
you grew up was a short period. When I grew up, you know, what we remember is our childhood was a decade.
Yeah.
that's a short period.
Yeah, but basically what I'm saying is, anyhow, from my in my earlier life, you know, for the first 20 years of my life, seasons were seasons, but it's four seasons in one day now. And
so I'm telling
and
you that if you look at the climatological record, that does not support that.
Yeah.
You look at the numbers.
Yeah, yeah.
Seasons haven't changed in that context.
See, I'm looking every day, and I'm seeing the skies and what's going on in the skies of Ireland every day. Like in Wexford, I know you're from Wexford yourself, and you would know that we're under a busy airline here now. And I'm filming planes flying over every day, and I'm seeing unusual activities going on up there. Let's say
I see the activity. There's nothing unusual about it.
Sorry?
I see the activity and I don't see anything unusual about it.
Yeah, well, what I'm seeing, I'm filming them now pretty much well. We don't really see the sun anymore because, you know, because of the shroud of blanket that's around the planet now with these programs going on. But, I mean...
I think there's some program going on that's not happening in this country.
Right. Well, I want verification of this, you know, because...
Sorry, you want verification of what now?
See, would Met Aaron have? Would they be willing to make a public statement or a statement to even myself about this that they aren't going on? I mean, I'm on to you here now, and you
I'm
know
telling it's, you it's not going on.
Yeah, no, I know that.
I'm telling you anything I see in the sky is perfectly explainable.
Yeah, yeah. Oh no, I'm not doubting your knowledge at all, Jerry. I'm wondering, would Met Aaron? Sorry.
There's people scaremongering about a lot of this kind of thing, and I'm telling you everything I see in the sky.
Yeah.
Is completely. Explainable,
right?
By meteorology.
And okay, well, I mean these trails that are being laid in the sky now, whatever you want to call them, vapor. You say they are
water vapor from aircraft.
Well, basically, they didn't expand out and they didn't persist in the past. Now I have photographs.
They did.
I've looked at old photographs and I can't see any trails. In any photographs.
There's far more aircraft now than there were then.
I know. But
that's just the increase in aircraft.
But still some days, like most days, the same amount of air traffic is going over, and some days there would be...
That's complete nonsense. They're,
oh, no, I see it every day.
They expand at certain atmospheric conditions.
Yeah.
The state of the atmosphere when the aircraft is travelling through.
I understand that.
That determines whether the contrail, as it is condensation trail, whether it disappears, whether it persists, or whether it spreads. I mean, when it spreads, it's effectively seeding a cloud.
Yeah.
But it's normal aircraft emissions, if you like. There's nothing unusual coming out of the aircraft, of any civil aircraft.
Well, you see, I have actually filmed, I've seen planes within 2 or 3 miles of each other, I mean, on the same altitude.
So you can't tell the altitude from ground level.
Oh no, I can't.
It's completely different.
No, from flight radar 24 for the flight radar tracking system.
Well, they wouldn't be that close if they were at the same altitude because there'd be a.
I've got photographic evidence of this, but basically, two planes in or around 33,000 feet, and one would be spraying a big, lengthy, persistent trail that expands out into a cloud bank, and the other would be leaving nothing behind.
Right, you seem to say spraying there as if that was it's aircraft emissions, it's normal aircraft emissions.
Yeah.
Which is seeding a cloud.
Or whatever it is, anyhow. I mean, it's leaving something behind. Whatever the terminology you use, I don't know. But it's leaving something behind in its wake now. I don't know what they are. I'm only speculating, and I just...
But what you see is water. It's water. It's cloud.
But...
cloud droplets.
I mean, all it is like vapor hitting into freezing cold, hot vapor hitting the freezing cold temperatures, and it forms ice crystals. But I mean, these return back to ambient temperature a couple of seconds later, and that's how a contrail has always dissipated in the past. But what I'm seeing now,
they've always behaved as they behave now. Obviously, jet engines have changed.
Well, I have no photographs. I can't see any photographs. Do you have any photographs, basically, going back before 1995?
By and large, when we do for cloud purposes, but the fact that you don't have photographs doesn't mean things didn't happen.
Yeah, so I mean, I think, well, myself, it flies in the face of physics to me to imagine that vapor can expand out to hundreds of times its mass. I mean, that's a physical impossibility as far as I'm concerned. Because
you misunderstand the process.
No, but basically, it's
misunderstanding the process.
Okay, could you explain exactly then?
Because what's happening with the cloud, the output from the aircraft, first of all, there's moisture at that level anyway.
Yeah.
The moisture is vapor.
Yeah.
It's in the vapor form.
Mm-hmm.
So when the aircraft leaves, it's emissions from the aircraft engine.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I'm aware of that.
Yeah, they form little centres for the cloud, for the cloud to start to develop.
Yeah.
But once the cloud starts to develop, it can grow or it can shrink. That's determined by the physics of what's happening up there.
Yeah.
At that altitude, but with the particular moisture level and the particular temperature.
But to
changes all the time.
Yeah, but to widen out, like I've seen just one trail completely block out the sun for a couple of hours.
Yeah, yeah, because it basically grows a cloud.
Yeah.
Yeah, but that, I mean, certainly if there were no aircraft flying, there'd be fewer clouds.
Yeah.
And that's not well known. I mean, contrails do lead to cloud formation.
Yeah.
But that's certainly true.
Yeah, well,
there's no argument about that.
Well, I've never ever seen it in the past. It's funny, isn't it? And now I'm seeing it every day. And I see NASA now have come out and they've declassified that the Earth has darkened by 20% since global programs, let's say, regional programs or whatever, have started.
Well, under very busy routes, there's certainly an increase in cloud under a very busy year.
Definitely, you know, because
this of the effect of aircraft.
I mean, the sunny southeast we were known as down here, now it's just not that anymore. It's anything but, you know.
Still the sunniest part of Ireland.
Wow. I don't know when the last... Yeah. Yeah, wow. Well, is that a fact? Because I don't even know that anymore, because I'm seeing a lot of uploads going up onto the internet every day of other sky watchers and... Like
have
from,
you looked at the Mid-Iron website to see the climate?
Yeah, from like in Longford and Dublin, a lot of days now I'd see loads of sunshine and we'd be blanketed out here. And from what I see, it's interesting. Now, do you have those statistics on your website, there, Jerry?
Yeah, of course we do. The sunshine figures are there. Yeah.
Yeah.
You can look them up anytime.
Yeah. Right now, just there was one day that Evelyn Cusack was on. They're doing the weather, and she actually pointed out these vapor trails in one of the forecasts, and contrails and jet engines. And you know, that's up on YouTube now. I never remember in the past a report like that. You know, and a weather report forecast mentioning a weather forecaster mentioning contrails. Did you ever mention them in the past? You know, because I can't find it. Do you ever remember mentioning it in the?
Why is that important? You decided to talk about them that day.
We all right.
About them every day.
Yeah, yeah. No, I'm just posing the question. That's all.
We just wanted to explain that these are contrails.
Yeah. Okay. Right.
And quite normal.
And it's just perplexing, you know, to think,
it's not perplexing. We're trying to tell people that these are normal things because there's a lot of people out there scaremongering.
Oh, yeah.
That they're abnormal.
No, yeah, no, I was going to...
We have a scientific duty to stop people being afraid.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Scared by things.
No, I wasn't saying that. I wasn't going to go on to say that was perplexing. What is perplexing is that I'm looking at, there's like NBC in America, CBS, Fox Weather Channel, Fox Weather. They've all talked about spraying chaff, military operations going on over America. They've all talked about it in the last couple of years, and even on Italian television, Australian television, German television, they're all talking about this.
Yeah.
I haven't heard RTE talking about it at all. The nearest thing to...
If you're interested in the science, I suggest you read the scientific literature. You don't try and take science from the media because...
Yeah, well, I definitely would never do that anyhow.
Yeah, yeah.
I would always think for myself and again, use basic science, you know.
That's usually better, yeah.
Yeah. So... Yeah, okay, sure, look at, there's no public statement going to be made about it. I'm wondering if I was to get a statement off Met Aaron, is there any chance of getting anything at all in writing just to say that these are just vapor trails?
I mean, we've no reason to put that out, but if you want to write and ask, we'll put something in writing.
Yeah, no, I'd like to request something like that. So do you have an email address on your website?
There's a contact form on our website, Jeff. You can come in there.
Okay, sure, I'll do that then, Jerry.
Yeah, and we'll certainly make it clear what our understanding of things is.
Okay.
All right.
Lovely. Thank you very much, Jerry.
Thanks, Dale. Bye-bye now.
Take care. Bye-bye.